289. Ha! I beat you to it.
Hi, Fuzz.
Hi, Severin.
What's the name of this episode?
Your mother sucks cocks in hell. Actually, it's the moist places you'll go.
Yes.
Oh, the things
Man,
that you'll
look at
see.
The spikes on that waveform.
Wow. Check out this all new preamp.
Yeah.
Spike it all over the place.
So we spent some Patreon money, and what did you guys buy?
What was it, Severin?
It's a mic preamp.
Oh, this is not an interface.
So before we.
Nady PRA8 mic preamp.
Not mic interface?
You are getting me hard with this technical talk.
And we bought some XLR cables.
Yes, we have new XLR cables, and we're going to be getting some new headphones soon. We have a new microphone or a new headphone monitoring thingy.
A new headphone interface.
Technical. We're getting all technical. It's a thingy.
And this is a microphone interface. This is a interface windscreen.
Yes.
And those are interface cables, and this is a interface headphone set. Interface.
So for those
foxes are not technical people.
This was a discussion we had before we started recording. Is Severin kept referring to the preamp as an interface,
and Panther,
his mate, would be like, "It's a preamp." And wherein we determined that whether it is a mixer, a preamp, a XLR cable,
it's all an interface.
It's an interface. Everything between your mouth and the iMac is an interface.
I'm pretty sure that's even technically correct.
Cox are an interface.
Wolves are in your face. Thwap, thwap, thwap.
We are using the Patreon money to fund replacing old ass gear. And
old ass gear.
Yes. We have we have a couple other things that we need to fiddle with, but Panther and I will go over that and see what needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
But y'all have been pretty awesome and are allowing us to basically have money to spend on the show stuff.
You were looking at Fuzz when you said that, so I thought it's like, y'all. It's like, is he talking to Fuzz?
Well,
I'm talking into the microphone because we're recording a podcast.
But you were looking dead into his eyes when you said that.
He was making a face at me.
Looking
this is
deep
my
into his
face. I was looking right at you. I like to, look at you with my eyes wide open when you're blowing me. Just never break eye contact.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine giving a blowjob to this?
You're the dog cock red microphone ball, or whatever you call that.
It is a microphone head interface.
So, yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we recorded.
Keeps the microphone tip from being too sensitive.
We have been many places.
Done many things.
Done many things.
Mm-hmm. Not too many people.
Unfortunately. Don't wanna fuck the weebs when you're down in San Antonio. Don't do that. So yes, I went
to... It's your second or third time to San Antonio?
Second. And hopefully we'll be able to get PAX South tickets for this coming year, because that was damn fun.
I don't know if it depends on how much and when. I mean, I know the guys kind of want to go again. I'm up in the air about skipping a year to let it grow, but
I have a friend, another friend of mine, Def Mac. He's like, I really want to come down to PAX South. I'm like, all right, well, let's see what we can do. Because basically, the moment those tickets go on sale, I'm going to buy one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a ton of fun. But yeah, I went to San Japan, big ol' anime con, about 20,000 people in San Antonio at the convention center there, and had a table for a promotion. I was promoting Nightmare Dance. I was promoting Very Fiesta, and had a fairly receptive crowd. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like there's only a tiny amount of people that, like, there's a crossover, but there's, in a crowd that large,
you'll get a segment.
If 5% of them like it, that's still a chunk of people.
How big is San Japan?
20K.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not shabby at all.
And, you know, the con staff treated me very well. Everybody was friendly.
Except for sticking in a corner facing a wall.
Yeah, that was just because I was a last second addition.
Yeah.
There was actually people that had a worse spot than me. They were facing away from the crowd because there was like a little island.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the north end of the island, but there was still the line of cons next to me. There was another couple conventions that were facing the other wall that people had to intentionally walk around the little island to go see. So I had a poor spot, but there were people that had worse. And there was musicians that were next to me that had worse positions.
Damn.
They had merch to sell. I'm just here to shill my cons. But it was everybody there was nice. Minimal amount of douchebags. Whole two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna judge you, but.
But I'm judging. And I'm you. Like, I'm judging.
Oh,
you.
Do go on. Tell me something I haven't already heard. What's the deal with the ponies? It's a cartoon. I like cartoons. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, what happens when the show's in? We all come back to anime and furry. Oh, you're never getting rid of us.
Wait, did he really shudder?
And... Yeah, he was like, oh, you know, it was like, that was like the horrible idea that, oh no, all the pony fans, once the show's over, they'll filter back into anime and other stuff, anime and furry and whatever. He was like, oh no.
And then he just did the fucking creepy Jason noise.
Yeah.
Slowly raised like a Pinkie Pie plush, like threw it at him.
No.
And then he had scald marks on his face from where it touched him.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it was a really fun, it was a...
I should have given you some money for when you came back through the West and pick up some stuff.
Yeah, I was tempted to stop at the check stop, but I was really, really tired at that point. Had been on the road for nearly 6 hours once I got to West, because holy shit, traffic coming back was awful.
So be a 20, get us some kolaches.
Yeah. Mm. But the con was really fun. I got to see plenty of good cosplay, lots of good cosplay. From everything Western and not, there was Pony, there was Steven Universe, there was Gravity Falls.
Yes.
There was lots and lots of anime. There was Doctor Who. That father-son pair.
Yeah,
the,
that
the
was
War
cool.
Doctor and what, the fifth or
fifth
sixth?
Fifth Doctor. Okay.
But did you have the Prime Minister of Uganda?
No, you did though.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell us about Siesta.
Oh, Siesta, you were an interesting show. In a good way. I had actually a really good time. I was tired at the end of it, but I wasn't stressed the way you come out of Fiesta with. So it's basically, we got the
a little bit less on the line with Siesta, just saying.
Yeah, just a tidge. So about, we got the room probably about 2 o'clock. Well, we got it around noon. We didn't get there in about 2 to start unloading, just deal with getting people off work and gathering everything. Set up the room, unpacked some of your TVs.
Cool.
We put them back. It's okay. Fine. So we grabbed some TVs. We put up some board games. We had one of the old dealer's dens. It was from like year 2 Fiesta. That
Oak Ballroom, yeah.
Oak Ballroom.
Yep.
In fact, it was Nightmare Nights. First year,
second year,
second year, yeah. dealer's den. So it's a 3-section room. We took one of the sections and put up most of the air wall, so there was a doorway into it, and that was the gaming area. So people went in there, played tabletop games, and half of it got taken over by Werewolf, as it does.
As it is. In Rock Band, the guys from Haven Con.
There's a whole story I'll tell you about that off air.
Haven Con brought up a complete Rock Band set for one of the TVs. The other TVs were between various Mario racing games, and of course Smash Brothers. All the Smash Brothers.
Of course.
If
all I did was have Wii U's and Smash at gaming for Fiesta, that would be fine. Nobody would complain.
So, but Rock Band, they sat on, Rock Band was never unoccupied. Oh, yeah. It was getting played nonstop from the moment we opened the room till we kicked people out and told them to stop playing. we have a bunch of round tables for people to sit up in, chat and talk. And we had message boards, which people ended up drawing a lot of cool little note card stuff and sticking up there. Yeah. Like, we had a couple of really neat little pieces of art that nobody snitched, and I was kind of proud of them.
So you did.
It was a meet. We didn't have any formal programming. We had one dude put on a Smash Brothers tournament on Saturday and gave away like a bag of Kit Kats. And we had actually Haven Con, who has gone from what's furry to oh my god,
we love the furries,
to going full furry, like borrowing one of Pacer's fursuits and arranging a fursuit parade.
Nice.
So, yeah,
he'll never go full furry.
He's gone in the deep end and loves us. The excitement was both nights. So Friday.
Right.
Friday night, we had Defend the Indian Wedding. The big ballroom that was hosting an Indian wedding had a big banquet out, so the whole second floor smelled like curry. And I mean that literally. It smelled like curry spices because they had an incredibly good-smelling banquet going on in there, plus tons of music. And, oh, my God, the people were so very shiny. So many pretty saris, shiny gold things. And it got to the point where the fursuiters were mostly sticking to our hall, but they kept spilling out around the corner to stare at the Indian wedding. And eventually the hotel manager came to me and asked me to corral the people. So me and, let's see, Gwalin, Somewhat Path, basically a bunch of random TFF people that I could get to form a wall, kind of stood at the end of the entrance hallway to the gallery and said, no, stop photobombing the wedding photos. Eventually, people kind of got the hint, and they went out and started going to room parties and back into our room and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. And after a little while, we didn't have to defend the wedding quite as stringently. But, I mean, just it was hard not to stare. I mean, everybody was pretty, and they smelled fabulous, and, like, really nice spicy perfume. Not cloying or nasty, but really pleasant. That was Friday night.
I did see that at least one Indian guy had his kid, and it was like, they were, like, waiting in a fursuiter and stuff. So there was some nice interaction between the two groups.
We had a couple of dudes come up and talk to us while we were guarding. And, of course, saw, like, the kids waving at the suitors. I mean, for the most part, it was pretty minimal. They just didn't want us staring in the open ballroom doors at them.
Totally.
And, just not be underfoot. And we understood and we respect that. It's a wedding. It's your special day. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to be in your wedding photos.
Yeah.
Night two was even more interesting, and I didn't realize how interesting until later. Mm-hmm. So at the far end of the con space, there was a third group, and we mostly saw them on Friday because they had a bunch of dealers' tables out in the gallery selling some African stuff like shirts and jewelry and bags and, just very – it was obviously African-patterned. And there was, like, one group selling – it looked like Jamaican-style stuff, but – looked at it, some people browsed, some people bought, didn't really pay a lot of attention to them. Then Saturday night, they took over the ballroom. And again, they had a big dinner and then lots and lots of music. And I'm in there in my area, and so far my suitors and everything had been mostly keeping clear of that area. They, like, seemed to remember from the prior night. Then I hear, there's fursuiters in the dance. And my first thought was, oh, shit, they snuck in. Because we have those people in the fandom that crash other parties. And then they're
call them assholes.
And I was like, fuck. And I start to head for the door to go get them out. And they're like, no, they got invited in. The guys that were guarding the door grabbed them and sent them onto the dance floor. Because they were out in the hallway just kind of bopping around a little, doing what fursuiters do. Just kind of dancing and, camping around. And they got grabbed and sent in, like Dario got sent in. And it's like, no, they invited them. It's okay.
Dance for us.
Well, and then partway through, apparently they got dragged up on stage to dance in front of, like, everybody else. And apparently everybody loved them. Like, this got a bunch of donations.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
What it was is it was a conference for a particular tribal people in Uganda that had been displaced from some of the wars. And they're trying to basically kind of stitch themselves back together so that they don't lose all of their culture because their tribes had been scattered. Mm-hmm. And I found this by Googling Uganda, Texas convention. And then we're looking at it, so the night goes on, and there's no real incidents, and everybody seems real happy because out in the hall, they're really cordial to us. So I'm at my birthday the next day. So we pack up that night, and we close out about 1 a.m. to let people go to room parties. And so it takes us about a little while to close out. So I probably get to bed probably about 3:30, which is when Tieran kicked us out of his room.
Oh.
I go to bed about 3:30, get up, stagger out of the hotel feeling wrecked because it's been 3 days of chaos. And I go to my birthday lunch, which is Chinese, which is why I didn't invite you because you're allergic.
Thank you.
Don't die, Fuzz.
Yeah, don't die. And we're talking about it, and somebody mentions, and they're looking at us like they looked it up. It's like, oh. The Ugandan Prime Minister was next door, and we're like, what? Yeah, and so we Google what this guy looks like, and he pulls it up. It's, holy fuck. And Gwalin's like, I gave that guy directions to the liquor store. Yeah. And cool. I had, like, seen him in the hall and nod and, hey, how are you? The kind of things you do when you're polite and, you know, passing other groups. It's like, holy shit. We shared a hotel with...
A prime minister.
Well, it was also moderately uncomfortable because most of Siesta's people are LGBT.
Yeah, and Uganda kind of has a thing, you know.
It was the death penalty. They managed to turn it down to life in prison.
Yeah.
So it's cool, and yet it's very uncomfortable.
It's like, oh, you're actually kind of a monster.
Now, I did look up some of the prime minister's histories with LGBT, and he is a moderate for that country. Like, when you Google him is that his name and gay rights is that he basically stuck up and, gays deserve, you know, health care and all this other stuff. So he was... As far as Uganda goes, that's fairly proactive, which is, I mean, it's light years behind everybody else, or at least this country. But for Uganda, he was fairly progressive, at least as far as that's concerned. And that's sad, but at least. And I kind of told the hotel, you know, it would have been kind of nice to know that there, one, that there was a foreign dignitary somewhere in the building so that I could have, like, kept my people a little bit further away from that group. And two, a group that is potentially hostile to us. Now, I didn't expect them to, like, suddenly throw bricks, but, jeers.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing as if some of our more protesty people decided to get into their faces.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was basically people didn't realize who they were, but if they had, shit might have gone down or at least been unpleasant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just had image in my head of, like, one of the really protesty people was a fursuiter, so they could just squeak angrily at the other delegation.
Gesticulate very angrily because they don't want to break the magic.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like I didn't think that they would, like, suddenly assault us. I did think that there might have been nasty words and uncomfortable all around, but still, it would have been nice to have been...
warned.
Yeah, and I probably wouldn't have broadcast this to everybody. I would have just said to staff of, hey, if you see, just kind of try and keep people
clear.
Clear, you know. But it is what it is. Nothing happened, but it was, once I read up who we were next to, it was like, that's one part cool and one part, you know.
Well, you dodged the bullet.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Interesting turn of events.
Yeah, so it was a very, very multicultural
weekend
at the Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I actually omitted, because I am a convention in Texas, I got invited to the We Run Anime Con Shindig at San Japan. They actually had, like, tickets and everything. And it was basically meet the guests of honor and network with other conventions. And so, like, I got to talk to the con chair and talk to the San Japan, got to talk to, like, the founder of Anime Boston. He runs a website called AnimeCons.com, which tracks anime conventions and conventions in general.
Mm-hmm.
Couple other cons here in Texas that, like, I didn't know you guys existed, but hey, how's it going? And they were really, really interested to compare and contrast stuff between furry and pony and anime cons in general.
Mm-hmm.
They were might be something neat to send some of our people down to for next year.
Yeah.
Especially if they're doing it again.
If you guys, basically, if you want to have a table for Fiesta, I'm pretty sure you can put in for it. They let a random-ass pony con do it. Why not a furry con?
Well, that...
Y'all are a bit older and more established and bigger.
Yeah, but you're also I would feel confident in saying the most successful pony con in Texas.
Yeah.
So you're quite random.
Didn't have, Well, we're the most successful furry con in Texas.
Yeah, we broke Texas Furry Con's record because we happened twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that was really cool and a good opportunity to network. Also, they had, beer and, it was an open bar.
Oh, that was something that happened at Siesta. Elliot's came out and threw a really big room party.
Yes.
It's like we thanked him profusely because it gave people something to do.
Yeah, and Fuzz inherited a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
So they took their wine bottles home, but they left all the beer and soda, and they actually just brought it down to our suite on a hotel.
Belcart,
yeah. And there was so much more of it originally because so we were like, hey guys, grab whatever you want because
I meant to grab that Cosmos.
Multiple cases of soda, six packs of beer.
You got a fuckload of Shiner.
Yeah, and that's after folks that were at our party grabbed what they wanted to take home. But we've still got a fuckload of Shiner.
I told Tiernan he needs to hold a couple barbecues.
Oh, totally. We've got like 4 or 5 24 packs of soda of various flavors.
Coke Zero and Coke and Sprite. And you had like at least 2 of the Shiner Family Reunion packs where it's like a variety pack of like 12 different beers.
I know that me and Sarah drank at least 2 of the Cosmos that came out of there. There was a third one I didn't snag because it wasn't cold. It was threatened, though.
I was thinking if we don't do Mephit this year, we may do
at FuzzCon.
We may do a barbecue this Saturday or something. It's also our anniversary weekend.
Wait, is Mephit this weekend?
No. It's like the first weekend in September, so it's like the 7th or so. It's really later this year.
I didn't know when it was. I was like, wait a minute.
Mephit is always Labor Day weekend. Sometimes that is the tail end of August. Sometimes it's the first week of September.
This weekend is BronyCon, and so I was like, wait a minute. MFM put themselves against BronyCon? I know who's going to win there.
More like it would be the other way around, since Mephit's been on Labor Day weekend for 18 years.
Yeah, but people seem to be more interested.
People go to BronyCon more than they go to Mephit.
Well, yeah, I know, but
I'm just saying, is like, wait a minute, what? But that's not the case, so never mind. Yeah.
So this weekend is Rocky Mountain FurCon, which is where Tieran is right now.
And Buck said he was going to.
Buck is with him, and Zia flew up as well. Hmm. So those are the three that will be repping for Planet there.
This weekend is also Furry Fiesta's Dealer's Den opening.
Yes, on Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday at noon. Yep. Gotta be there hitting F5.
And next weekend is Indie FurCon. The weekend after that is Euroference. The weekend after that is Furry Migration. The weekend after that is MFM.
Yeah, I looked at all the weekends that were in August, which is typically, it's like Megaplex, RMFC, Indie FurCon, Euroference, Furry Migration, Mephit. It's like, I am fucked. No matter what weekend in August, somebody is going to get fucked by Dealer's Den opening. I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
So,
in other news,
by the way, I'm on vacation. Do you mind moving that to whenever it's convenient for me?
is where we get to do the WoW talk, Fuzz.
The weekend after.
If you have to go to the bathroom or something.
I want to say the weekend after MFM is FA United. So that's like five or six in a row.
And there's a 1 week gap, and then you have rain first.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're kind of fucked. So do you have to pee or leave the room or go get a drink because you're just going to fall asleep if you
sleep? I'll lean back and rest my back.
Okay. So
I will scoff.
Okay. The new expansion to WoW got announced today.
Oh, hang on. Let me do one thing right quick.
Are you setting an alarm?
No. We have an anonymous Tumblr ask. What do the casters think of the new WoW expansion, Legion? See, now we can hit an email and you guys can talk about this.
Okay.
Two birds, one stone.
So.
Yes, Gamescom, at the tail end of a disastrous second quarter, whereupon they lost 1.5 million players and the game is down to where they were at the tail end of Vanilla, they have jumped the gun, as it were, and announced the next expansion to WoW.
See, I don't see it as jumping the gun. I saw it as a saving throw.
It's a saving throw. It's a Hail Mary. Because if they had waited until BlizzCon, they would have seen much more.
It would have bled.
And I really think that they're setting this up to be the last WoW expansion.
If not, I mean, there's...
Like,
don't know.
They have already heavily implied they're going to fucking kill off a bunch of lore characters.
So the new expansion is going to take us to the Shattered Islands. We've got a whole bunch of new zones. Gul'dan is going to be back. There's Moosefin. I saw Moosefin in the trailer.
Moosetauren.
New class of Demon Hunter.
Yep. Blood Elves, 9 off only.
Yep.
Elves, makes sense.
It looks pretty. Can't say the fucking word.
Cinematics,
thank you.
Blizzard makes fucking great cinematics.
That's
undisputable.
They just show everybody else the doors. Like, look, this is how you're done. I'll tell you, after Warlords, they got to do something to salvage things because Warlords has been an unmitigated piece of shit. Now
I stopped it. I'm playing Final Fantasy 14.
If I wasn't raiding, I would have quit too. Raiding with people I really like.
Hell, I saw Sarah was like, check it out. I made a cat dude.
Yeah.
In 14.
We're probably going dicking around in 14, except for raids now. I mean, Warlords, it feels like they had such a promising start. They had a lot of good concepts, and then they just kept
failed
dropping.
To deliver.
They cut a whole bunch of stuff out, and then when you look at the storyline, they set up one thing, and then there's this big flub between the setup, kind of the first dungeon, and then you wrap up to the end. It feels like you're reading a trilogy, and somehow you forgot the middle book. You went right from one
to the finale.
Three, and it's like, what? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It feels like they felt like it was a piece of shit, so they just kind of exited it really quickly. They realized it was no saving it,
I'm interested in their, like, all right, you're going to do the artifact weapon growth and, like, the various skins for it.
But, and they're finally giving fucking druids a way to
actually have a different appearance.
Because I'm a bear.
I thought that was hilarious when they did that, though.
Yeah.
So during the presentation, they were showing off. Each spec has an artifact weapon. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think they're actually going to make 36 new models, but they're going to be variations upon an iconic weapon. So paladins are all going to have Ashbringer, probably.
With different flavors and glows.
Yeah, and they affect it. And I'm wondering if you can get the artifact weapon for each spec, or if it's just one of those, you're stuck with that one spec and you have to find weapons elsewhere.
And you can upgrade it and all that other stuff.
It's very Path of the Titans-y, so we'll see if it actually makes it to life. It sounds intriguing.
It's just, are they going to lie again and drop content? Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you see everything, and you're like, cool, I'll believe it when it's live.
Yeah.
The art direction looks nice. There's only one orc.
Mm-hmm. Gul'dan.
Gul'dan, yeah. Because everyone's like Orc Lords of Orknor.
And what they did for druids with the whole weapon is usually if you're one of the two animal druids, cat or bear, you change forms, and that's what you spend most of your time in. You don't change. Everybody else gets cool weapons and cool blood, and I'm a bear.
Yeah, it was. But in the presentation, they had been showing the variations on the artifact weapons: the regular Doomhammer, the fiery Doomhammer, the evil Doomhammer, whatever. And then when they showed druids, and you're like, you can say this is level 100 druid, this is a druid with this, and druid with that, and they just showed the same three cat pictures.
Yeah, and all look the same.
And that was like that got a chuckle from the crowd, and they're like, all right, never mind. You know, this is what's actually going on.
And it's like as they progress, they actually get to be glowy and ghost-like. And it's like, oh, wow, so we actually get something.
Some differentiation.
Know. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. They were like, hey, check out this spear. It's the survival hunter weapon. Wait, what?
Yeah, melee?
Are survival hunters the new dragoons?
Apparently.
Voldergs?
So we'll see where it comes out. I mean,
the crowd at Gamescom was not hype.
No, like, there was a little bit of cheer, but not like BlizzCon level hype.
Yeah, it was actually kind of sad because they would pan over the crowd and there's this dude just kind of dead staring ahead, like,
Well,
I'll believe it when I see it. And well, like when they were like, "Oh, who Warlords? Played during Burning Crusade?" and there was like very very low response. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, it was mostly like, I don't know, we went into Warlords with a lot of like enthusiasm. There's going to be a lot of things covered in spikes, but at least the story looks interesting, and they're promising all this stuff. And one by one, they pulled it all away. And then, so here we are. We're going into a new expansion. And everybody I heard has talked to is like, yeah, let's see how many of these they pull out.
And that's kind of sad because it's like, you know, there's lots of neat concepts, but they have burned everybody so badly that they don't trust Blizzard to actually deliver.
Yeah, it's like I miss that kind of childlike, ooh, new X-Pack, new content, and now it's like, well, I got burned really bad last time. I just can't work myself up to this again.
It's one of those, we'll see when it comes out, because, I mean, again, I'm playing 14, but I don't really have a lot of time to do MMOs right now.
And
so I'm working on lots of projects before that. I'm not even to level cap in the expansion of Heavensward. Like, I've just not taken... I have the time, but I've been doing more productive things.
And that's kind of where I'm getting to. It's like, I got better things I could be doing with my time than playing WoW, but it's the one place I have to reach a particular set of people and spend a couple hours a night dicking around with them. So, and if I quit WoW, then I'm going to lose a whole section of friends.
Yeah. Well, so, again, we shall see. Like, they'll be sending out time, and hey, you want to join the beta? You unsubbed during Warlords. Want to see the changes we've made?
Yeah, you know, just
I'm sure that they'll be doing that, and whatever.
They gotta their game.
Consider that WoW is no longer their cash cow.
Yeah, and like, it's telling after the six-pack.
They've got Hearthstone. They've got Heroes. They've got StarCraft 2, the next expansion is coming
now
out.
Overwatch is coming.
Overwatch is coming, and their new dude that they announced is like a guy with a dubstep gun. It's a Brazilian dude with a dubstep gun. He's a support character, and he's on in rollerblades. It's a bizarre ass thing, but you know.
I love the Russian tank chick from the
yeah,
last.
Yeah, and there's like the robot that can turn into a little tank and is a turret. And I mean, they've got some cool concepts, but the dubstep gun is just like, oh god, really?
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, it's brand new, and like he's a support that has, he has an AoE heal ability, and then it's called crossfade, and it's either he's AoE heal or it speeds everybody up. So they can help do charges, and their ultimate is a big shield bubble.
Which
gives you a big shield boost.
I've been playing a lot of Heroes. Not a lot. I usually play a couple of games a night, enough to clear out my dailies. But
I was talking to Taryn, and Taryn's like, "Yeah, if you play it consistently and do your dailies, you can get characters in not that long of a time." And I'm like,
I got most of my characters so far with gold. I have bought a couple, and I did buy a couple of skins. And I think
skins look really good though. They're like new models.
And it was kind of like, okay, I'm enjoying the game, paying a little bit of money to help support it. I don't mind. But I'm not going to make a monthly habit of, dropping $15 on a new character.
Yeah. Like I had fun playing around with Kael'thas. I had fun playing around with Leoric.
Mm-hmm.
But those are both expensive characters. But I was like, I had fun with Kael'thas.
Yeah.
He's got some neat mechanics at the higher levels, too. Fire bombs for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Sarah plays him a lot. I play a lot of Zagara. She's the Tauren-ish. She's kind of a Zerg Tor bug thing.
And she's a Zerg queen, isn't she?
Yeah. I got the skin that makes her look like a Scorpion Tor.
Oh.
Eat her.
Okay. I was having fun with Rhaegar, I think, the orc shaman going like, "Lol, I'm back here. Chain heal, chain heal, chain heal for you, chain heal for you.
Chain heals for everybody."
Oh, too close. Press X. I'm a ghost wolf. Yep. but yeah, Blizzard games. Whatever.
We'll see how it goes. I'm hopeful, but I'm cautiously hopeful.
I will say that thankfully with Blizzard's design philosophy, their stuff is really scalable, so all the shit runs really well on my computer. I can't say the same for some other games like Dirty Bomb and there was this one, Endless Space, which is a spaceship game in Unreal 4, and oh my god, I was getting like single digit frame rates. It's a free to play, so I downloaded it into space game, love spaceship, blowing shit up. Nope. My iMac is showing its age. It is nearly 5 years old at this point. But it's just like, holy shit, really? Wow. I guess I'll just uninstall this gig of game. But, video games. So, we should probably get to our emails, because we have a ton of them this week. You can wake back up, Fuzz. Hey, Fuzz.
What?
It just about bored him to death.
We're talking about furry stuff now, not video games.
I was catching up on Pixel Kitty's live tweeting the GOP debate.
Yeah. Did he eat that immigrant yet?
Not yet.
Oh. They just have him tied up on a stake and just be like, yeah, you'll get yours. Donald Trump likes to make his prey suffer.
That's right. Yeah. Stalks around them.
That's Toupee snapping at them.
Yes.
All right. So, let us begin. This is from Anonymous. A naughty moose, it says. Wow, guys, it's been a while since I wrote in. I've had a lot happen. Got a new job. I can't reveal it because it'll make my identity rather obvious. I have a couple questions, but the one I wanted to ask most is, when is the right time to propose? I know it seems like a rather dumb question. I've had a few answers that I thought were kind of dumb. And I've heard a few answers, that is. The other question is, well, let's start with that one. When you're financially stable and have been together, like, at least a year and a half or more and lived together for a while. Don't jump the gun.
Yeah, don't jump the gun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, basically it's like when you're financially stable and you've been together long enough that you know you're not going to hate each other in the next few years, probably.
And if you're my daughter, you'll never get married.
Yes.
It's basically look down the road, you know, are you where you want to be? Are they... For me, it's kind of just like when you're sure, and probably at least a year. Usually it takes about a year for infatuation to wear off.
Yeah.
And there's several studies to back up that statement, so just Google it. I would live together, see if you guys, like, work as a couple in, you know, meat space. And then
meat space.
Go from there.
Yep. Other question is, have you guys tried the new restaurant in Dallas, Tallywhackers? It's Hooters with Dudes.
Nope, haven't.
Nope.
I have not.
I was thinking of stopping there on the way to Midwest Fur Fest if I ever make it. And then P.S., why don't you guys update the website anymore? That's because our website files got eaten when my computer died last year, and all of our updates are on our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com.
You probably should just update the website to point
it
to that.
It should, actually. It does.
If you go to foxstuffers.com, I have set up a 5-second delay
redirect,
so you could stop and look at that website if you want, or you can just let it go through and it'll redirect you to our Tumblr,
yeah,
which is where all the current episodes are.
Yep.
Oh, hey, next one is from Fuji. We haven't had Fuji. He hasn't come out and told stories in a while.
Oh, cool. All right.
Okay.
Somebody, read an email.
Do you want to read that one, Sheila?
Sure. Hello, Notcast. It's your favorite pink husky, Fujimaro. I had a question about moving in with your mate. Now, my boyfriend and I have been dating for quite some time, and he and I are ready for him to move out here with me in California. He lives in Maine. Although I'm super excited, I'm also worried about him getting used to a totally new place and him getting used to being head of the household.
Me getting used to being head of
the household. Oh, and me getting used to being head of the household. I say this because I'm the one, for now, with a job until he gets one. Not at all to say that I'm in control of him. I mean that I will be running things like bill paying and food buying. I hear there's a honeymoon phase and the phase where you butt heads all the time. I just wanted to know what was your experience with moving in. Really depends on the personalities involved. Mm. I've been in situations where I moved a very far away and I didn't have much in the way of support system except my mate. And it was kind of unnerving because I was completely reliant on him. Mm. The best thing I could say is just for his sanity, kind of do things that will empower him to feel like he's got a little bit of control in his life.
That he's also contributing.
Like, if you bring in the money, put him in charge of, like, paying, you know, being the one to write out, make sure the bills actually get paid. Like, he writes the checks and he makes the payments. Or whatever the equivalent thereof. Encourage him to get a job, even if it's something, just so he has a little bit of his own financial stability. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel like he's just completely floating around and reliant on you. It will, even if it's not a great job, it is a little bit of an ego boost, and it feels safer, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, won't feel like they're completely boned if things go south and they're now halfway on the other side of the country without, you know, income of their own.
Yeah,
you know?
If you've got local friends, try to encourage him to make some of his own. If he's a fur, and I'm going to imagine he is, get him hooked up with some of the local... introduce him to some of the locals or encourage him to go make social contact so he doesn't feel isolated.
You know, get him hooked up with like a you know, Maine expatriate program. Yeah. You know, people like, oh, I lived in Maine and now there's more than one person within a mile of me. This is weird.
Yeah.
things like that. It's basically start helping him set down his own roots and nest, for lack of a better term. I hadn't really gone through the whole butting heads phase when I moved in with my mates, any all three of them at this point that I've been through.
I don't think I did either.
No. I mean, you butt heads at some points with your mate any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not usually honeymoon to, you know, knocking heads to whatever.
Yeah, there wasn't a butting heads all the time thing.
I will say one of the most difficult parts of moving in together was sleeping in the same bed because you're not used to it. Yeah. And you keep waking each other up.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that when I was, like, visiting boyfriends and such, like, in college. That couple times when you happen to be able to share a bed at night and you just can't use the other person there. Then when you've been doing it for 18 years, you miss it when you're sleeping alone.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I lay in the middle of the bed and just sprawl all out.
It's funny that even in, like, when I was in San Antonio, I had the place to myself, but I still ended up sleeping on, quote, my side of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I do end up doing that, too.
I didn't bring my Dakimakura. I didn't think it would be appropriate.
If Panther printed on the duck, you have to, like, embed some nails in it to represent his fingernails.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I bet Scappo has a Panther Dakimakura I could buy.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, I got to go to con without you, so I'm just going to bring this, okay?
And a Fudo one. But he's already male. Well, we'll put another dick on him.
And tits.
Yeah.
Because reasons. Okay. Well, there's the next one. Next one is...
Okay, this is a follow-up to the sexual guilt
And he was anonymous email. Last time, so...
Yeah. Hey, casters. I just wanted to say thanks for reading and replying to the last email. I know the situation I wrote in about is really intense, but it still helped to hear that we're on the right path. I also figured I'd pass on that I'm also in therapy per your concerns. As a side note, I finally caught up with the entire backlog a few months back. Figured I'd let you know the progress I have made is in large part due to the help and support I've heard you guys give others over the years. Aw, you guys changed lives and you should know that. Less than three. Thanks, that anonymous dragon.
We're helping. Yay!
Yay! That's actually really... really good feedback. It's yes. always nice to know that we're actually making a difference.
We are helping.
So that'll be back around to you, yep. Saverin.
All right. So please keep me anonymous. The topic is, any suggestions what I should do? Hello, I'm a relatively new furry, about 3 years, I think, and I love your cast, but I wanted to ask your opinion on my situation. I'm young and gay, and I'm a very strange person. I don't know how far I should go about telling my family about my likes. I don't like lying at all, so I've basically excluded myself from everyone around me in an attempt to not get so close to them and minimize the questions they ask. I've told my sister about furries, but she thought they were weird and didn't really give me a solid answer / reaction. Both my parents are very happy for me, even though I don't necessarily love them back. They've told me time and time again, from my early graduation to my ridiculously planned future. I don't plan on staying near my parents for long. After 2 years in college, I'm planning on moving north, Seattle. We live in Texas. I don't know how much I should tell them about me, from being a furry to being gay to being an aromantic to moving away in the future. They don't know about my plans to move away. For the past 4 or 5 years, I planned on never telling any of my family about any of me. But the secrets are starting to really eat at me. I don't care about what my friends think about me. I feel the same way about my family. I don't care about what they think about me, but something's telling me not to tell them. What do you think? I feel like I'm being a bit paranoid because paranoia runs my family. This message was really hard for me to write, considering you don't talk about my feelings with anyone. Thank you, another furry otter. Huh.
So, first of all, you do care, I'm going to say.
If you didn't care, you wouldn't be kind of twisting up like this.
Right.
You'd just come out, say blah, 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 and walk away.
I mean, you don't have to come out if you don't want to. You know, and if you're really concerned that they might react negatively, and also, I mean, you don't really have to tell them everything that you're into. I mean, being aromantic, I had to Google that. So
it's like, yo, I don't do romance.
Like 95% positive, your parents are not going to know what that is.
And so. Even if they did, they're not going to care. It's not like
right. And, you know, furry, as far as I'm concerned, all your parents need to know you have a weird hobby.
Yeah.
You have something you're interested in. You don't really have to tell them any more than that. You don't have to tell them about our secret cult meetings, you know.
You sure as hell don't have to explain it.
Our secret paw shake.
You know, don't tell them about the virgin sacrifices.
Yeah.
And don't do that.
We've drawn a parallel to it, to liking anime in the past, to liking comic books. Nobody really walks up to the parents and go, Mom, Dad, I'm a Trekkie. You know, I mean,
son, this is a Star Wars family.
Yeah,
Don't you tell me you like Voyager. God help you if you like Enterprise.
I mean, if you call it around as something else that anybody else is really into, whether it's cars or anime or Star Trek or Star Wars or... I mean, 9 times out of 10, your parents, unless they're into it already, and you'd know, they don't give a fuck. So, you know, most parents don't really want to hear you list out about Deadpool number 67 and, you know, how much he looks like a pepper.
Oh, that's when he fucks death, right?
Yeah. And how much his face looks like a pepperoni pizza in this particular episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like along that line. I mean, unless you feel the urge to sit down and explain the great intricacies of, I don't know, season 3 of Supernatural, you don't really need to explain furry to your parents.
After season 5, it's just garbage.
Yeah, but that's another tangent. So,
death threats.
I mean,
you're talking shit about my husband, too.
I've never seen the show. So.
I don't know.
Incest. But yeah,
I know that's a thing with them on the internet. Apparently,
they've actually like made an episode making fun of it too.
I think we talked about that. Yeah.
So furry's a hobby, and it is a much deeper for some people than others. But you know, you don't got to sit down and come out to your parents about it.
And
gay is only really matter if you like have a boyfriend or something, and you think they'll be supportive. I mean, if you're aromantic, I mean, does it really matter?
Yeah, like I like dicks sexually, but I'm not gonna like hook up with a dude.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a blowjob. Okay,
I'm part of cock fandom.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you're young, and your opinions will probably change as you mature. Because
I know at 17, I didn't have a hell of a lot of connection to other people.
You know, we're all weird people in some regards, and at that age, we were still figuring out who the fuck we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after a couple of years in college, maybe you'll have a change of heart. I mean, don't throw your educational future away. That's for damn sure. If they're paying for your school, don't fuck that up.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'd also really think about your plan to move to Seattle from Texas. Seattle is also
expensive.
A very expensive place to live. It's like all the emails we get saying, I want to move to the Bay Area. And it's like, yeah, it's furry Mecca, but it's super expensive.
You need a good job to be able to support living there if you don't want to live out of a box.
Yeah.
And the boxes you can rent for more than a pay for a Texas apartment.
Oh, yeah. I saw an article that Tilton linked to the other day.
Oh, God. Was that the one with the $6,000 month to month?
There's probably the same one, but like the headline that he had posted about was this couple. Together, they make $100,000 a year, and they can't afford to rent an apartment because it was in the Bay Area.
Fuck that.
And it's like, Jesus, you know?
And this is actually, I posted about this on Twitter. You can get a 2,200 square foot apartment in San Francisco for $1.8 million. Or you can get a 8,000 square foot, 5-bedroom, 5-bath, pool, patio, massage parlor, blowjob den on 5 acres or whatever in Frisco at the juncture of 121 and the DNT in that really nice section of homes for the same price.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think I'd stay in Texas.
It's like 4 times the house.
Yeah. And it's gated and all this shit. It's crazy. Like, seriously, fuck California. And just because of their housing.
I have a lot of friends there. I mean, it's a nice place. But fuck the California housing market in the Bay Area. Because, and a lot of it is the tech boom. And they're really, you know, there was an article the other day about how like laundromats in this particular neighborhood are closing down and going out of business. And some techie guy was like, but that's okay because we have this other service, which is like, you know, some kind of app where they come and pick up your laundry, take it away, wash it, and bring it back and
communicate with the family. And it's like, I got a friend of mine who lives out there, and he was making like 70K and could barely keep his head above fucking water. Why don't you turn on the fan, Fuzz? And it's like,
you didn't hear me.
No, I didn't. But making that money and being living in a shit apartment in a shit part of the bay, I'm like, dude, you could make. It's the button on the left, Fuzz. There. Or it's like, you could 70K here in DFW would get you pretty decent.
Yeah, you could afford a small house.
Watch your foot. Rolling back
and so, floor. Yeah, it's just like, man, if you don't have to...
70K here get you some mad pussy.
If you don't have to live in the Bay Area, just kind of don't.
And Seattle's kind of along those lines. I know we got off on the Bay Area there.
So, anyways, let's move on to the next email.
Okay.
I mean, we did...
How long have we been going? Do we need to save?
We should stop and save, actually, because we are at about an hour of this recording, though the episode's not an hour.
Okay.
So cool. We will stop and save, play some royalty-free music from YouTube, and be back. So this one is, he sent it to himself accidentally. So this is from, does he list his name? Cygnus. All right, cool. Hey, it's that young griffin from the zoo in Michigan saying, thanks for the advice. I'm kind of shocked by how similar situations are, but I'm super happy to have someone tell me it will be all right.
By the way, the subject line was Dear Shoji.
Okay.
Care not cast, so he's kind of addressing this to one of the listeners.
Okay. As for my previous email, I just wanted to follow up. I did make a slight mistake, as we have been truthful to each other the whole time I went to the admission, thinking it wouldn't be a problem. Turns out my Finn had a bad experience in the past with someone underage, and he got a bit freaked out. It's come to the point of us both looking at each other and hoping we were in a different situation. He's not quite comfortable calling me mate as of now, but we both aren't denying the feelings we have for each other, calling it off for a year but still remaining close friends. It does hurt a lot seeing someone so close but so far away, relatively, but he and I are working through it. Also, super excited that in the same year I'll be moving out to the West Coast for college. University of Washington is my dream, and at least to Seattle. Oh boy, here's Seattle again. It's going to be a nice change of scenery from the humid hellhole Southwest Michigan is. Also, that opens up a new can of worms for potential meetups in the future with the guy, as he's a common FurCon goer, and it might convince him to come up to Rainforest. Thanks again, guys, gals, and any other manner of queer animal. You've been a great help and a good help and a good laugh. Keep up the awesome work and keep being special doggos. The not-so-anonymous half-bird from the zoo, Cygnus. P.S. We're called trolls as we live under the Mackinac Bridge. And you're right about there not being much here. Take me away, bird face. Okay. Yay. Woo. We're helping.
So,
Shiva.
Okay. Dear Notcast, I've listened to your show for a very long time. I believe you're around episode 50 when I started. You guys were a big part of sent for my iPhone.
He messed up somewhere, but okay.
Last week, you had someone talking about being confused with his sexuality, and I wanted to suggest that sexuality is very fluid, and often things one may fantasize over may not translate to real life. In the same way, for example, I consider myself bisexual, but I don't particularly like dudes in anything other than theory.
Oh, that'll change with a cock in your ass, I'm telling you. Oh, wait, no. Oh, sorry.
Or your mouth in your case?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it too much and just go with the flow and figure it out in time. Now, my actual question. I'm going to my very first FurCon in August, Eurofriends. I've got no idea what to expect because my only con experience are the big London anime movie cons, one of which I believe gets around 130,000 people over the weekend. That's quite a difference in size, and I'm really hoping I'll enjoy such a small con. My girlfriend is going with me, but other than that, I don't know any furries who go to Eurofriends. Hell, the only furry friends I have are all ones I've had a hand in turning to the fur side myself. We figured EF was a safe bet because we both wanted to get out of the country for a while and figured that if we end up not enjoying ourselves, we can just go see Berlin instead. Do you have any advice on how to make friends at a FurCon? Also, what should I expect at a FurCon? I hear stories about room parties and things like that, but I don't know how big of a FurCon they are. Thanks in advance, Ethereal. P.S. Fuzzwolf, you followed me on FA a few weeks back, and that made me squee. I'm glad you enjoy the smut I make.
Yay!
So, I haven't been to Eurofriends to know how it compares to U.S. cons, so I'm not really sure what to...
Yeah, I was going to say kind of the same thing, that it's like... There's a big cultural difference there, like, and organizationally it's very different too. Like, their con runs kind of completely different dates.
Yeah.
And everything, like, I mean, for like the dealer's room, I don't believe it's open on Sunday. It's they deal from like Thursday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Or something, with the theory being Sunday the dealers can see the con.
I would go with your original plan, nose around. If you don't like it, go sightsee. I mean...
Yeah.
If you're in Berlin, you might as well even do a little bit of that anyways. You're in fucking Berlin. Go look at some things.
Yeah.
I mean, I would.
Savern, any thoughts?
I mean, I don't know how different the Eurocon scene is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go
on. Well, we know they hate Americans.
Yes, but they're from the UK, so it's okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Looking at their art ain't bad, that's for sure. I was like, oh, they are on FA, I'll look them up.
Yes.
How do you make friends at a FurCon? Just insert yourself into the situation. Like, don't be obnoxious, but if they're, like, is there a group conversation going on? It be sociable. You know, introduce yourself to people. Say, hi, I'm such and such from the UK. How are you? And you might meet yourself some furries from your own area. You never know. That was something I did when I was in San Antonio. I just walked up and introduced myself. Hey, I'm blah, blah from blah. How's it going? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then conversation started, and I had a good time. For social anxiety, I just said, fuck it, and dove in, and it worked out okay. Yay.
By the way, for those familiar with stuff from, like, back in the day, Ethie was the artist who drew the I'm a Famous Podcaster image with Fuzzwolf's head when the awesome face.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a famous podcaster.
Yeah. Which then Rivka then made into a button for me to put on my thing. The next.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Well then is it me to read next?
Yeah, do the one fuck stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck stuff. Hey, notcasters. This is Zeke from the Patreon list, finally writing in as requested. My name is complicated and weird by design. Hard, but memorable, like a fox.
Smiley face.
Savern was spot on, of course. X equals Z, IJ equals E, or E, and QUE equals K.
Now solve for X.
Yeah. This is like username math.
We haven't had relationship math in a while.
Yeah, luckily. At least the way I figure. I came up with it just over 6 years ago on a beach in Florida where my skin nearly turned as red as my fur. Oops. I'd ask what you guys got or came I'd ask when you guys got or came up with your furry names, but I remember that being discussed on the air fairly recently. So how about this one? If you could go back and rename yourself, would you? And to what? Marfid stuff, Zeke the Fox. P.S. I guess what they say about Fennec's ears being telepathy radar dishes is true. That was pretty much exactly how I explained the pronunciation to people.
So would you pick a different name? Yes. In a heartbeat, a million times, yes.
Oh, so I want to give Shiva props on Siesta. Do you want to explain?
Yeah, I was out in the hallway, and I looked down and went, because I was guarding the Indian wedding, I looked down at my badges, and I went, fuck! And I walked probably to the den, and I took off my badges, because luckily they were already facing the other direction, because I'm wearing a Hindu deity on a badge around my neck, standing outside of a fucking Indian wedding.
Well, worse than that, like, Shiva is the goddess of what, death and destruction?
No, Shiva is a god, and he is the, it's basically amounts to, yes, destruction, yes, but it's more like the decay and change. You're thinking Kali. Kali is the goddess of death and destruction.
So you may be more appropriate at an Indian funeral.
Who is Shiva's wife?
Right. You might work at an Indian funeral, but probably not a good omen at the wedding.
Actually, Lord Shiva has a whole bunch of roles, and it's way too... But regardless, it's like wearing something that says Jesus or Muhammad outside of whatever. So
Raptor Jesus.
I very much spun around, went, dropped my badges off on the... And I unlabeled myself for the evening.
Hey, because that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
So would I rename myself? Yes. And many years ago... But so many people know me by that name, and I would probably go by my other moniker, Chimera. That's where I'm on most of the gaming networks. And I would go with that.
I wouldn't.
Well, you're not named after an embarrassing teenage mistake.
No. I was named after a character in a furry comic strip that I didn't realize I had done that until after the fact, and I was like, fuck it, I like the name, I'm keeping it.
But yeah, he did come up with that name when you were, what, 13 or 16?
16.
So, in the same way, he's had it for a long time.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, I've had a couple of, like, side characters that I've played around as, but the Nick Saverin has stuck with me forever.
What was the bat character's name again?
Saffron.
Saffron, that's right.
Because I was a FWA07, and an artist who I commissioned to do some badges badly misinterpreted my character's design. And so they drew me as a bat and not a fennec. So I was like, okay, he's just, he's Saffron as opposed to Saverin. And he's a flying fox gay bat.
I've got a whole bunch of characters that I've played on Taps and FM. Instead of
scorpions, he eats fruit.
Yeah, well, a bunch of other places. But as far as, like, the main moniker that you use everywhere, yeah. I'd change it in a heartbeat. I just don't want to be one of those furries where, you know, years down the line, they... Oh, I talked to you years ago, and blah, 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 and I have to tell everybody I've lost contact with for the last however many years. Yeah. Oh, by the way, now I'm known as Bob. You know.
I have a friend of mine here who was in the furry community and kind of is putting her toes back in the water, but she's, like, divorced herself completely from her prior name and is like, oh, God, this person, like, somebody who was a pushy commissioner years ago was like, oh fuck, they counted me down, and it's like, It's like, oh no. I mean, I totally understand people trying to divorce themselves from that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, for me, I'm quite happy with my nick. It is psychologically synonymous with myself at this point, And so, like, I respond to any real name, fandom name, whatever. It's just kind of like who I am at this point.
I know my name is a very lame adjective species type of furry name and super basic, but, like, I've had this name for so many years now, and all my friends call me Fuzz more often than my real name, even my legal name, even though I'm around people in the IRL now, and it's just what people call me, and... I don't know, I'm just comfortable with it. And I'm kind of like you. It's like, yeah, I'm like kind of psychologically as attached to it as my legal name. So
well, it's like I had even a few years ago, like not not recently, but like
thought of changing
and like I'm gonna change characters and
that. Oh, I was gonna jokingly say thought of changing your legal name to Zavran.
No. This is like changing characters, changing name, and I'm like, but never mind. That'd be too hard. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe could have gotten away with it when I was like just doing some of the story writing and stuff, but you know, now that I own a company, it's like I'm very identified with this name. So, and there's no real reason to change it. I'm actually fine with it the way it is. So, I mean, I'm sure I could have been more creative or more individual. I mean, I guess I had Howley in the werewolf community back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm fine with Fuzzwolf. I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. It's mostly when I get outside of the furry circles and like a bunch of my Indian coworkers are, well, Indian. So I'm very careful not to let any of my monikers or like IAMs or anything, you know,
yeah,
cross that boundary just because it is.
Yeah. And I actually, like, if I'm out in a situation with people who I have a fandom name but also have the real name, it's like I have to, like, all right, who's this person? Are they cool with? I'll just refer them by real name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's weird, but I still have to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one.
I read that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So okay. This one goes back to me. Anonymous asked a question. Dear Notcast, I was wondering if any of you are going to for immigration in Minnesota. It's second year con, and from what I experienced last year, have high expectations. Of course, last migration was my first con ever, so I don't have the experience to give any ratings other than it was super fun and the most social thing I attended all year. Anyways, I was hoping to meet some of my favorite casters. Pre-reg ends on the 8th of August. Hurry if you want to go. Isn't that in Minnesota? Or something like that?
That's actually what he said in the first sentence, but oh. Yes.
It's okay. He's Derp. A fox. He can't read.
It is indeed in Minnesota. No,
I'm not planning on.
I'm not going. I was just going to say, yeah, I've heard that's a good con. I have some friends, the Soap Wolf guys and the Rabbit Valley guys, both attended last year, and I believe will be attending this year. I know Soap Wolf will because they're local. This is the con that kind of grew out of the furries being involved in Gay Laxicon, which was held in Minnesota two or three years ago. And they brought a lot of furries into that, and the Minnesota furs got involved. And I was like, are you guys thinking of maybe doing a con here? Because Gay Laxicon was kind of like a half a furry con, half a gay con. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we kind of want to, you know, see if this gets the interest going and everything like that. So yeah, that's where furry migration kind of kicked off there. I was at Gay Laxicon, have not been to Furry Migration. I wanted to go last year, ran out of time off, and I considered going this year. But again, I might not even go to Rainforest at this point due to lack of time off. I would like to go one year, especially since I know at least two people in the area that I could hang out with, have dinner with, and catch up with. But yeah, unfortunately not this year, Anonymous, but, you know, maybe I'll make it up there at some point in the future.
Yeah, it's one of those. There's a lot of fur cons I like to go to, but it's a matter of, like, you know, most of my con time and budget goes towards conventions that I can also market my own projects at.
Mm.
And that's, like, I like going to cons just to go, but, like, it's weird. I feel, like, out of place if I'm going to a convention just to attend. If I'm not behind the table or, you know, hawking my own
or working
stuff, yeah, it's like, it feels mm-hmm. weird.
It does.
The one outlier to that was PAX South, but there was so much shit to see. I was just like, it was so much fun.
It's also a different genre.
Yeah.
And we'd never done a PAX before. We'd done anime and other cons before. This is a whole new ball game for us. It felt more like a show and less like a con, if that makes a sense.
Yeah.
So, we talked about this a little earlier, but we got a late start this week due to having to mess with and calibrate some of the new equipment. So, we're going to go ahead and do, I think, one more email.
It's a fairly simple one.
And then hold off on... So, we'll have, like, a whole extra week on the... we actually didn't even get into the topic. We should change the name of this episode because we didn't do the moist... places you'll go at all.
Oh. Yeah.
So we'll just call
the,
it
the other moist places.
Your
we'll
original
know.
Name of something to do with the siesta.
It's like anime siesta or whatever. Because, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. we can't do a super long episode this week because, again, we did get started late. Thanks to y'all who have donated to our Patreon.
We really appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it. We were able to replace some equipment, and we will continue to be replacing equipment until everything works perfectly.
Yeah, we've got to replace the second and the third interface.
And the fourth.
And the interface, and then the headphone interfaces.
and the Savern interface.
He did get a new headphone interface, though, and it is tiny compared to the old one.
It's like the other, what, 8 years old?
It's like the size of a cigarette pack.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, hey, it's tiny.
It's actually the particular mic preamp that we have is like originally made in 2004 or 5. It's uh-huh. actually pretty old technology, but most other preamps use other interfaces now, other cables and shit. Uh-huh. I said the word, I know, fuzz, goddamn it.
I didn't even say anything, but I was
you
like,
just smiled.
I could not
fuck
not.
You.
I couldn't
Savern's
not smile.
Blonde.
Sorry.
Even if he himself is not blonde, Savern the character is blonde, and you can
yes.
tell.
Yes.
I'm a special doggo.
You're a special doggo.
All right. So, yeah. Final email. Hey, guys, an honest fan here, and I'm wondering how on earth I can find older episodes. Maybe I'm not just tech savvy enough, but it's hoping to get some of the older episodes. I'm a longtime listener. Good Lord, you guys have come a long way. And I was hoping to snag some of the old ones simply for nostalgia's sake. Is there any way to find them?
Yes. If you go to notcast.com and click to the episodes page before the redirect.
Wait, you mean foxstuffers.com? Because Notcast it goes immediately to the Tumblr.
Okay, if you go to foxstuffers.com.
And click really quickly.
And click over to the episodes, you can find the downloads for all of them. Because iTunes only has like the last 100 or so, or 50 or so.
Mm.
What I've been thinking about is setting up a torrent.
Mm.
Like a mass torrent of all the files. And so like mm-hmm. once it's out there, it's all peer-to-peer. But,
yeah. At least that wouldn't be a bandwidth drain on the server, I guess.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to pack everything into a zip and tell everybody to download like 5 gigs of audio or whatever. God. Well, we're probably not that bad. We're probably like maybe 2 gigs, but still.
I don't know. It's a lot. Because you're talking about two formats and 288
You would
episodes.
Download the MP3 only or whatever.
Right.
But
yeah, you go to foxstuffers.com and then hit stop on your browser. I think that'll stop the redirect from kicking in, and then click one of the other links there.
Yeah, because episode 1 is available. Episode 0, I think, is on the page.
I don't think it is, because okay. we never actually released that on the RSS, but we did put it on the DVD as a bonus thing. Maybe you unmuted it when we took a break because you listened to where the end of the file was.
God dang it. Anyways, you can go back and find all the ancient episodes and hear how far we've come in the 288 prior episodes to this.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of time. It's actually one of those moments I had the other day between the two podcasts I do, the audiobook stuff I do, and everything else, I'm probably getting close to 2,000 hours of shit available on the net.
Jesus.
It's like a lot of
hours
Savern.
Of your life logged away for forever.
So much yapping.
Oh, I know. And like, well, I just released a Pony audiobook today. It's 3.5 hours long.
Wow.
The one prior to that was 7.5 or 6.5. And then, of course, I've done all the furry ones,
mm-hmm.
and I did that one anthology piece
yep.
for you.
Which I need to post, yeah. figure out where we're going to release that.
Yeah, because I want to put that on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because I really liked it.
Yes.
I'm
it's
doing,
a very good
I'm
story.
I'm doing some anthology stuff for Fuzz, too, and so, I'm also working on other furry audiobooks.
Yep.
So it's like I am talking. I am full of words. Yep.
Yep.
All right. So,
I still think we should put out an audio file that really is just you going yap.
It's like Savern solo episode Fox edition.
Holy cow. Anime Cat, one of the dealers from Fiesta, did a life-size Night Fury. It's not toothless.
What's a Night Fury?
It's the dragon from
How to Train Your Dragon.
But that's the actual, the name of the breed is Night Fury. And it's life size, and it's about as big as she is. It looks really gorgeous.
Yeah, Night Furies are pretty small relatively, but they're the super destructive, powerful dragon. That's really cute.
I mean, she's got some super cute photos up.
So yeah, we're going to wrap it up because it is 10:20 p.m. Sorry this episode's not as long and involved as the previous one. You guys really seem to like that.
So if you want to write in on our previous topic, though, we can always use
more input.
It was when you bring somebody home to have sex with them, and or they bring you home, and it's like to an awkward situation, like
Mom, I'm gonna be fucking.
Yeah,
the cat's puked on the bed.
Like the drippy basement, or you know,
the foam mat on the floor with a picture of Gabe Newell on the wall.
You know, the back of the van
with stains on it.
Under the bridge, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'll write in with your horror stories there. Our email is notcast@foxstuffers.com. Twitter, FA, Tumblr.
That's it.
Are all just Notcast.
Yep.
I was making sure that I got all of them.
Patreon. Patreon is also.
See, I fucking missed one. Yep. And Patreon is also Notcast.
Yeah, we are currently set up as a per episode. $1 per episode really helps. $4 a month goes a long way to help us keep producing the show, you guys.
And buy more interfaces.
Yes. Yeah, all the interfaces.
And hey, who knows? You know, maybe once we, you know, if we can keep growing the Patreon, we can actually start going to more cons.
That'd be kind of cool. So
I saw that we got followed by a particular fur con on our Notcast Twitter account, and I'm like, what do they want?
Oh.
Like, we're being followed by cons. Are they gonna ask us to be guests? That'll be weird. I don't know. That'd be cool, though. We haven't done that in a long time. Anyways, also, we still have our coupon code NOT. It's still active. Nobody's using it because it's a shit deal, but, you know, if you need to buy dildos.
No, it's not a shit deal. It's really amazing. And
you at least get free shipping with it.
Yeah,
you don't.
No?
Nope.
Well, you get something. You get something. I don't know what.
Do you get crappy DVDs still?
Yeah, you get more bonus crappy DVDs.
Oh.
Yeah, this year has brought in like $130 total. Anyways, it's bullshit. You know, people don't buy dongs like they used to. Goddamn kids. Shove it in your butt. Anyways, on that note...
What, are they using their fingers or something? They need to buy dongs.
On that note, good night.
Don't just stick, like, markers and shit up
there. A big vagina.
You know?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, look up that not in your butt video,
Good night, Fuzz.
That's why you need to buy the dongs.
Good night, Fuzz.
Or just go to forplanet.com and buy books to order now.